Nearer, my God, to thee, nearer to thee. E'en though it be a cross that raiseth me, still all my song shall be, nearer, my God, to thee, nearer, my God, to thee, nearer to thee. Though like the wanderer, the sun gone down, darkness be over me, my rest a stone. Yet in my dreams I'd be nearer, my God, to thee, nearer, my God, to thee, nearer to thee. Then with my waking thoughts bright with thy praise, out of my stony griefs, Bethel I'll raise. So by my woes to be nearer, my God, to thee, nearer, my God, to thee, nearer to thee.
Good morning. I want to thank Abby and Noah for their ministry music this morning. We've had some changeovers. Amy Brown was to sing, and she got sick, and then I think she asked Brenda, and then Brenda didn't feel well, and so here we are. But the Lord's presence and Spirit is here, and that is what we desire, that He would attend us. For those of you who look at the schedule, and there are scriptures for each week, our scripture today deals with Paul going before King Agrippa, and he is allowed to speak on his own in his own behalf, and he shares with him, and I don't want to take too much of Ray's sermon, but he shares with him his experience where Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus. And I want you to think in your hearts, think in your minds, if you came before the king, the president, the dictator, a monarch, and you were asked about your testimony, what would it be? What would it be? What would you share with them and tell them? You know, not too long ago, a brother in the church, Ram Baral, he was granted presence to President Trump, and he came to President Trump and gave him a Book of Mormon and told him about the promises that the Lord had made to this land. He shared with him his testimony. What would your testimony be? I'll read here from section 1 for you to ponder that. In verse 4 it says, "Wherefore I, the Lord, knowing the calamity which should come upon the inhabitants of the earth, called upon my servant Joseph Smith, Jr., and spake unto him from heaven, and gave him commandments. And all this, that it might be fulfilled, which is written by the prophets, the weak things of the world shall come forth and break down the mighty and strong ones, that man should not counsel his fellow man, neither trust in the arm of flesh, but that every man might speak in the name of God the Lord, even the Savior of the world, that the fullness of my gospel might be proclaimed by the weak and the simple unto the ends of the world and before kings and rulers. Brothers and sisters, let us be prepared that we can share our testimony not only with others around us, but perhaps one day even with kings and rulers. We'll continue on with hymn 361.
Father, we who have assembled here this morning do so in the name of thy only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And we do so, Father, to praise thy holy name, to acknowledge that thou art our God, our Creator, loving, merciful, full of grace and truth, from everlasting to everlasting. We invite thy Holy Spirit to dwell with us this day and ask that you would forgive us of all our shortcomings. We pray that you would be with our brother Ray this morning, that you would guide and direct him in sharing those thoughts you have placed upon his heart, that we might all be uplifted and edified, Father, by that which you would have us to know this day. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
So we pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we're grateful for this opportunity to meet in freedom to worship Thee. We're thankful for the many blessings, many things that Thou hast bestowed upon us. We pray at this time that all that Thou hast given us, that a portion might be returned to Thee for the need of this branch. Bless those who give and those who would. Pray that Thou would bless the remainder of this service. Pray that Thou would bless Brother Ray. All this we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
The scripture reading this morning is taken from the 18th chapter of the book of Matthew, the first and second verse. And after Jesus had been speaking in parables, the disciples came to him and said, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child unto them in the midst of them, and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye become converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven."
When I survey the wondrous cross, on which the Prince of Glory died, my riches gain I count but loss, and poor contempt on all my pride. From his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow me
Good morning. It's good to be here with you this morning. As many of those of you who have stood here before can attest that usually the week ahead of the time you're up to speak, it doesn't really always go all that well. And seems like obstacles get in your way and try to distract you from the opportunity you have to speak to his children. Staying with the scripture for the week, I read over chapters 25, 26, 27 of the book of Acts to kind of get a feel for where Paul was at. And when Paul was before Agrippa, he began to tell him what his history was. He says, by manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among my known nation at Jerusalem, know all Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most startled set of our religion, he was a Pharisee. And he goes on to tell about how he had persecuted the saints and those who believed in Jesus. And in fact, the times that they would be put to death. And he was okay with that. That was fine. And I bring that up because some of us wonder why in the world the Lord would ever pick on us, because our background has not all been that smooth. And certainly mine wasn't. And I grew up in a situation where I heard the Lord's name many times, but it was never in a way that I could present it to you today. I didn't learn about this Jesus Christ until I was in my teens. And so it was, and back in those days, people would talk about, some of my friends and people, do you believe in Jesus? Well, I didn't know anything about Jesus, but I was afraid not to say, yeah, I believe in him, but I didn't know him. I had no idea of all the things that Jesus had accomplished and what he meant in my life. But then Paul hadn't been a really good guy. And I mention this because the Lord looks at those who are able to accomplish his work. And you don't have to particularly have been, a prince or someone who was really good, but he looks at those who can accomplish the job that he has before him. And that has happened throughout history by many, many men or women who have come forth and have accomplished a great work, and their backgrounds were probably not too pretty. But Paul talks in the 26th chapter, beginning with verse 13, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me. And I was interested that he brought up, and those who were journeying with him. So we don't hear too much of the testimony of those who were with him. We mainly hear Paul's testimony. But he wasn't alone. There were others there with him. And if they would testify, they would verify what Paul was telling them. And he said that and when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And then he said in the 16th verse, but rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister. To make thee a minister. Now, we're talking about Paul, who was not, he wasn't a super nice guy. And to make thee a minister, and to witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things into which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Wow. And as I read that over and over again, and that challenge to Paul has not changed. That's the same challenge that you and I have today, that we are to open the eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. You know, I of course, anyone who's had this opportunity to speak from this pulpit will testify that what you want more than anything is to bring a message that will be uplifting and that will people can learn from and that will draw them closer to the Lord. That's our purpose. That's our desire. Sometimes we may not aren't always able to achieve that, but that is the purpose. And I've said over and over again, if one of you receives something from this message, then I've achieved what the Lord has sent me here for today. You know, I had a unique experience, and I've kind of hinted to that. I've been praying mightily. And had a couple of setbacks last week. And Friday morning, around 5 o'clock, I awoke. And it was like I was seeing a group of people sitting around putting a puzzle together and trying to fit different pieces in and looking at it. And they would try it in a place, and it may not fit, and they put it aside, try another piece. And all of this so that, you know, any of you put a puzzle together, it usually comes in a box with a picture on the front. And you're trying to achieve that picture that's on the front. And I felt like that the Lord was saying that there's a beautiful picture of your life. And there are many people trying to put pieces into that puzzle that will fit. And I don't know, some of you may have had the opportunity to put together a puzzle, and when you get to the end, there's pieces missing. And you can't find it. You look everywhere. Other times you might be trying to put a puzzle together and the table slips and the pieces go everywhere. And so sometimes if we look at our lives, those things happen. Now, my puzzle has changed the picture several times. And I found that there are a number of pieces that are missing. But the good news is, the problem with it, many of us most of the time, is that we're trying to put the puzzle together by ourselves. And we're making our own decisions and we're kind of whatever feels good. But I've learned over time that if we are patient, if we call upon the Lord and seek the Lord's direction, then usually things come out pretty well. And I love, any of you heard me preach before, I love the hymns of the church. And there's a great message in the hymns of the church. And one particular songwriter that I'm familiar with has a song that says, "I hold the pen, but he writes the words." And if you go through this hymnal and some of these hymns that we have, you can see that the person who was writing it wasn't coming from his head, but it was coming from somewhere else. And the words would just fall into place. And I found that in my own life. My life has been a life in the mechanical field. You know, I have a mechanical background, anywhere from an electrician to a mechanic to a machinist. I've done all of that. And I've seen for a number of times, you know, there isn't anything that our Lord doesn't know. And no matter what field you work in, and you are having difficulty, whether you're flying an airplane or whatever you're doing, that you can call upon the Lord and He has the answer. He's been there before. And so we have no problem trusting in Him. In Hymn 310, it says, "Teach me thy patience still, with thee in closer, dearer company, in work that keeps faith sweet and strong, in trust that triumphs over wrong, with thee, O Master, let me live." So, so what we need to do is to rely upon the Lord. When we're frustrated and we're having trouble, when those pieces don't fit together, and that can become pretty frustrating when the pieces aren't falling in the right place where you want them or where you think they should be. So, but let me read to you from the 2 Nephi chapter 14, the fourth through the sixth verses. "And now, beloved," and if I might mention that, and most of you I know have been baptized and have received the gift of the Holy Ghost. And what is the gift of the Holy Ghost? The gift of the Holy Ghost, when you call upon Him, will teach you all things. "And now behold, my beloved brethren, I suppose that you ponder somewhat in your hearts concerning that which you should do after you have entered into the way. But behold, why do you ponder these things in your hearts? Do you not remember that I said unto you that after you had received the Holy Ghost, you could speak with the tongues of angels? And now, how can you speak with the tongue of angels, save it were by the Holy Ghost? Angels speak by the power of the Holy Ghost, wherefore they speak the words of Christ. Wherefore I said unto you, feast upon the words of Christ, for behold, the words of Christ will tell you all things that you should know." Now, if you don't remember anything else, you remember that one verse. As I said, feast upon the words of Christ, for behold, the words of Christ will teach you what you should do. Wherefore, now after I have spoken these words, if you cannot understand them, it will be because you asked not. We keep saying, why, Lord, why is this happening to me? Why are things happening the way? Did you ask? Did you ask? Did you call upon him for direction? Did you seek his advice before you entered into the situation that you're in? Wherefore, now after I have spoken these words, if you cannot understand them, it will be because you asked not. Neither do you seek. Wherefore, you are not brought into the light, but must perish in the dark. For behold, again I say unto you, that if you will enter in by the way and receive the Holy Ghost, it will show you all things that you should do. And you know, when I've been able to rely upon them, I find that scripture very true and very worthwhile. You know, and I, as I was experiencing all this, putting together the puzzle and everything, I was reminded of how much God loves you. You know, we have no comprehension of the love of God and how much he loves us. And one of my favorite hymns is hymn 134, My God, How Wonderful Thou Art. And in that hymn it says, no earthly father loves like thee. No mother hath so mild. Bears and forbears as thou hast done with me, thy sinful child. And sometimes we might have committed a sin, we might have done something that we shouldn't have done, and we feel bad and we feel embarrassed and we feel like that God couldn't accept it. But God has repeatedly, and I told you, even when we talk about the Apostle Paul was, you might have considered him a wicked man before he had his experience with Christ. And the interesting thing is, when we read over into the 28th verse, then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou hast persuaded me to be a Christian. And, you know, we've heard the testimony, we've heard sermon after sermon. We've heard mighty sermons from this pulpit, and I've heard them from many others. And I've been at reunions, and I've been to conferences, and heard some very powerful testimonies of the Lord Jesus and his saving power. And my life has been blessed by it. And you can see that the hand of God has been working amongst all of you, each of you. God is aware, you know, it's hard to say how, well, and Brother Eric read this morning talking about the weak things and how the Lord has blessed the weak things. And I think maybe sometimes it's because of us weak people that we're seeking and our mind is more open for some challenging information that would help to get us to the point where we're happy and content and satisfied and want to tell the story of the Lord Jesus and to present him to people all around us. And the other thing is that his would be present in our countenance. That others would see him in us and be curious about why we are who we are. And I know I shared the testimony before of Bill David about him being in a restaurant and sharing his testimony, and people followed him out to the car because they hadn't heard enough. And isn't that the way that we would like to have people to see us, that the presence of the Lord is so present in our lives that something radiates from us that causes people to be drawn to us because of this experience and the love of Jesus Christ that is in our hearts and in our lives. And so that we don't walk around in doom and gloom and people wanting to avoid us. In other words, if we have the love of Jesus Christ, and we used to sing that in our camp songs, have the love of Jesus Christ down in my heart to stay. Is that it down in your heart to stay? And if it's down in your heart to stay, it can't help but come out of your mouth and out of your countenance if you have the love of Jesus Christ down in your heart. I know the devil doesn't like it, but he's down there to stay. So those are memories that have stuck with me for 70 years or so. And to remember the love of Jesus Christ. So in Acts 3:19, repent ye therefore that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. When the refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Don't we long for that refreshing presence of the Lord in our lives? Acts 3:19. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have it entered in to the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them who love him. Wow. The things that God has prepared for them who love him. You know, I can bear testimony of the times of in my life when the Lord has presented things to me that I couldn't begin to comprehend them. And especially after looking back, when I see that it only happened, and the only way it could have happened is because the Lord intervened, and the things weren't quite as bad as they looked like they were. And a great part of that is that we need to be able to hear the Word of God. And sometimes we go around with our ears closed and we're not hearing. And that's, I think the scripture said, you have ears to hear, but you aren't hearing. You have, eyes to see, but you're not seeing. And how many of us have been in that situation where we've got eyes to see and ears to hear, but we're not seeing and we're not hearing. We're doing it my way. And you know, and I couldn't speak to you that this way this morning if I hadn't had these same kinds of experiences. When I have made up my mind, this is how it is, this is how I'm going to do it, and it ain't right. And when I break down and I stop and I begin to think, have I asked? And each time I ask, I receive. I love the hymn, and I know that this hymn come directly from God. O my people, saith the Spirit, hear the word of God today. Be not slothful, but obedient. 'Tis the world's momentous day. Unto honor I've called you, honor great as angels know. Heed you then a father's counsel, and by deeds your purpose show. Unless you've asked, you may not receive. And the promise is that if you ask, you will receive. And if you have received, what are you going to do with what you received? Are you going to keep it inside, or are you going to shout it from the rooftops that this is what the Lord has done for me, and He'll do the same for you, and He will lift you up when you're in the depths and you feel like you're headed for the other side. He will lift you up if you will call upon His name and seek for His direction in your life. Call upon Him that He will protect you, that He will protect your loved one, and that you will be able to stand before Him in the last days. Hymn number 367 says, Master, speak to me, thy servant heareth. Make me wise that I may see what I need, that I may follow with a step more firm and free. Is that a man's writing, or did someone get that gift from the Lord Jesus Christ or from heaven? Teach me, Lord, that I may teach the precious things thou dost impart, and wing my words that they may reach the hidden depth of many a heart. Fill me with thy fullness, Lord, until my very heart o'erflows in kindling thoughts and glowing word, thy love to tell, thy praise to show. Are those words from man, or are those words that came from the Lord? From Isaiah, and you heard this many, many times, but it's probably fitting every Sunday and every Wednesday and every other day in between. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, He fainteth not, neither is He weary. There is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint and to them that have no might. He increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as angels. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. What a promise we have. What a promise we have. Thou didst say, and from the 27th Psalms, Thou didst say unto me, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, wait upon the Lord. Wow. I don't know about you guys, if you get impatient or not, but there's probably been a time or two in my life that I have been impatient. And it just isn't happening enough. And when it does happen, it isn't like that. I wanted it to happen. But the Lord says for us to be patient. And then in Proverbs we read, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not upon your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Oh, here's a good one. Be not wise in thine own eyes. For the fear of the Lord, and depart from evil. He shall be health in thy navel, and marrow in thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with thy first fruits, all of thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. I cannot testify to you enough about the love of God and the path that I have walked for 84 years. And in the first place, I'm blessed to just be able to stand here at age 84. But the Lord has blessed me tremendously through all my life. He blessed me with a handmaiden that was, I shouldn't have gone there, only he could have picked, and only he could have known what a blessing she would be in my life. He blessed me with the knowledge of what a man should be and what a father should be by the blessing of her father. While my father was a good man, he taught me to be honest. He taught me to work hard and to be truthful but when I was introduced to the Lord and when I was given my father-in-law taught me how to be a man and how to be a father and how to love. You know, some of you may have, and I know when I look around here that some of you have been told that you were loved from the very day that you were able to understand speech. But for me, I shouldn't say that. Whenever I was getting a spanking, I'm only doing this because I love you. And that was as close as I came to hearing about love. And then my mother, in my teenage years when I started dating, told me that you never tell a girl that you love her unless you really love her. Now, that was my counseling about dating. But I never told my mother that I loved her, and I don't know that she told me out loud until I was 50 years old. And when I look around, and that was because of you people, and that was because of my association with the church and my association with the Lord Jesus Christ, how important the word love, and to mean love, that you truly love. It's easy to say, oh, well, you know, I love you, say hello, thank you, goodbye, you know, but to really feel the presence of the Lord when you, and the love that you shared. My daughter just almost messed me up this morning on my way to church. I got a call from her, which is unusual. She said, Dad, are you still preaching today? And said, yeah, I'm on my way to church now. And she said, well, Dad, I would really love to be there. I want to be there. But Larry, who's her husband, he's afraid to go out because of the COVID. And she said, I love you and I'm praying for you. And that almost put me in the, where I wondered if I would be able to carry on because of her love for me. In these last 2 years, she has just been a tremendous, along with you, every one of you have been so kind and so loving and have helped me to appreciate and know that God is love and that he does care about each of us and that he has this blanket of love that's covering this whole sanctuary. And he is present here this morning with us. I don't know how many times that you have felt and acknowledged and know that God is present in this sanctuary. And not in just this sanctuary, hundreds of sanctuaries around the country. God loves his people. And he only wants the best for us. He wants us to have the best. And the best is him.
and his Father and the knowledge that he cares. And if we see throughout history and throughout the scriptures, the love of God and how the love of God has changed things, and even what we would consider not an upright, loving, caring person, but God, he doesn't separate us. There was a recent song, and I've used this amongst my friends from time to time, when people have come to the Lord and asked for forgiveness. And the Lord's response is, what sin? Because he's already forgot what that sin was. And I've had opportunity through the years, my first pastorship when I was 30 years old. And so I've been in the business from time to time of counseling with people. And that opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and how forgiving and how loving he is above anything that we can begin to comprehend, because we don't see it every day in this world. And there's so many of you who have reached out to me in the last 2 years, and I have to say, these last 2 years have been rough, but from time to time I've been lifted up and I've found healing in your love, because you have loved me. And by your love, I know that there's a greater love than that, than any of us can begin to comprehend. It is so rewarding. We have gone through in the last several months turmoil in our country, and I read articles that have been written many years ago, and the author would claim, I don't know how it can get any worse than this. And for some of us, as we look at the situation in the world today, we think it can't get any worse than this. Lord, are you coming this afternoon, or are you coming tomorrow? We need you now. But then in section 2 of the Doctrine and Covenants, verses 1 and 2, the works and the designs and the purposes of God cannot be frustrated, neither can they come to naught, for God doth not walk in crooked paths, neither doth he turn from the right hand nor to the left, neither doth he vary from that which he has said. Therefore, his paths are straight, and his course is one eternal round. Remember, that it is not the word of God that is frustrated, but the works of man. For although a man may have many revelations and have power to do many mighty works, yet if he boasts in his own strength, if he sets at naught the counsel of God, and if he follows after the dictates of his own heart, own will, and carnal desires, he must fall and incur the vengeance of the Lord. Remember those words. Although we may become frustrated, that it may become look dim and dark, but God is still in control. And then I'll close this morning with the words of our brother Paul, as we find in 2 Timothy. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all of them also that love his appearance. So that promise is not just to Paul, but it's to all of us. All of us. All of us who have obeyed him and followed after him. I'm so thankful this morning that you are here, and that the Lord has blessed and is blessing your life. And we need to only call upon him if we just sit and wonder, and nothing probably will happen, or something will happen, and it might not be the way you appreciate or want. But God is good, and God loves his children, and he is willing, if we are willing, to take upon his name. He is willing to bless us and keep us. And I have to, you know, I'm no king, I'm no wealthy person, but I'm well taken care of. And I have to say, it's because of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, has blessed me even when I didn't know I was being blessed all the days of my life. And I pray that you will have that same testimony, that same love for Jesus Christ, and to know that he is your personal Savior. He's not somebody else's Savior, but he's your Savior, your personal Savior. And he cares as much for you as he does anyone else, no matter what your circumstances. And he hears your voice. And he may not be as fast as you would like. You may not receive the answers immediately. And maybe the answer you want is not the answer that's coming. But he is aware of your needs, and he will bless you, and he will lift you up. And even as Brother Paul said, in the last days, he will take you under his arm and take you into his kingdom at last. Thank you this morning for your love and the prayers that you've offered in my behalf. And I just thank the Lord for you and for my family and for those who've loved me all the days of my life. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, Lord, we have truly been blessed this hour, and we thank you, and we thank you for blessing our brother Ray in his preparations this week and throughout his life. Lord, we have truly been blessed by the Word of God through testimony and through thy holy scriptures and through lyric and through the beautiful music that we have heard in our ears and have felt in our soul. Lord, we felt thy Holy Spirit in this quiet place. We ask that you would help us to open our ears and our eyes, that we may feel the impress of thy Holy Ghost as we walk and move about, that we may be responsive and move out in faith, in testimony. Lord, help us as we continue in this journey to continue to come out of darkness and move into the light, that light which is thy Holy Son, who is our Savior, and that we can always look to him and seek truth in thy kingdom. So, Lord, help us to continue to seek and to recognize your love for us. In the blessed name of Jesus Christ, amen.